time to visit with one another, to share a meal together. And I really enjoyed my time with you all last night. You know, on the way home, I was just reflecting in the Lord, and I realized that there's such a deep well in this house. And I really sense just such a real strong foundation of love among this community. And so I'm very thankful to be here. This morning, I felt the Lord leading me to share my testimony. I was the first among my family to come to the Lord. I had already met my wife. She was not saved yet. And my wife's parents was a part of a church. And there was a youth pastor there that would reach out to my wife and I. He was very kind. He was full of love. And we enjoyed being around him and his wife. And so he would invite us on trips with the youth. I was 21 at the time. My wife was 18. We had just gotten married. And he invited us to go to Pensacola, Florida, to stay on the beach for a week. And during that time, we would be attending a church. And we lived in Arkansas, so we would be driving to Pensacola, staying there for a week. And during that time, we would be attending some church services. Well, when we got to Pensacola, Florida, there had been an outpouring of God's Spirit taking place in a church there in Brownsville, Pensacola. And people from all over the nation had been coming to this church night after night for the services that were taking place, and actually people from all over the world. In fact, we went in 1996. The outpouring of God's Spirit in that church began in 1995. And the meetings were going still very strong. Night after night, people would gather together. People were being touched, changed, transformed in God's presence. I was one of those people. The revival or the outpouring of God's Spirit lasted for 5 years. And over a five-year period, there was over 3 million people that came to that church. Many thousands of people came to the Lord. Many thousands of people were healed and delivered and set free. And so my life was a testimony of one of those people. And I tell you, the first night that we arrived at the church, it was a prayer meeting. And we had arrived there in Pensacola that day, that afternoon. And so we arrived at the church a little later after settling into the house that we were staying in. And the prayer meeting had already begun. And so my wife and I, we were holding hands as we was walking up to the church. And the moment that we walked through the foyer of the church, the moment that we walked through the entrance doors into the foyer, At that moment, I felt waves of God's love and His presence just coming over me. It would be like a wave would just come over, wash over me, and then it would subside a little. But I would still just feel the intensity of God's love and His presence. Remember, I wasn't saved, and I didn't grow up in church, so I didn't have terminology to put to what I was feeling, but I knew that what I was feeling was real, and it began to cause tears to stream down my face. And as I was feeling God's presence come over me, subside, it would come over me again, and I couldn't stop crying. I couldn't stop crying in the presence of the Lord. And I knew at that moment, without anyone ministering to me or preaching to me or anything else taking place, I knew at that moment that there were things in my life that had separated me from coming into a relationship with the very one that I was feeling His presence at that moment. And in that night, I resolved in my heart that whatever it took, whatever was required of me to lay my life down to receive not only that presence that I was feeling at that moment, but that I would never lose I would never lose His presence in my life. And so the next night during the service, there were hundreds of people in the service, a few thousand actually, and people would begin to wait to get into church. They would begin to wait in the very early hours of the morning. Many of them, after the night service, they would go and they would camp out in front of the church. Some would have tents. Some would just put their blankets on the sidewalk where they wanted to wait in line all the next day. And so our youth group, the group of youth that had come, about 20 or 30 of us, we began waiting in line at 7 o'clock. And we weren't the first ones there. There were already a few hundred people waiting in line to get in service that night. And so we stood in line all day long. And during all day long, we heard people's testimonies. We heard of people coming because they were hungry, people that were already touched by the Lord, that were there to receive more and to experience more of what God was doing. And so the service opened up and we went inside the service. And I don't remember so much about the meeting because the whole time my heart was just beating in my chest. I was just the anticipation of what God was doing to me and what He was doing in me. And I didn't know how the flow of the service would go, but when the preacher stood up and he gave the opportunity for people to come to the front and receive the Lord in their heart and their life, and I jumped up, I grabbed the hand of my wife, and we ran down to the altar, and we weren't the only ones running down to the altar. The altars would fill up with literally hundreds of people, and so I just got on my face before the Lord, and I just poured my heart out. I repented before Him of the life that I had lived, of the things that I had embraced that had separated me from His presence. And I remember that same night, after getting up from that place, that same night I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. That same night, I feel like my life had totally shifted and changed from that place. And when we got back to Arkansas, I couldn't live the same. I began to share with my friends about what had taken place. I would try to convince them in any way that I could to come to church, to encounter Jesus, to just encounter Him, just come to a place where God can touch your heart, because He'll surely change your life if you allow Him to. And so my wife and I ended up going back to Brownsville to the school of ministry that was formed out of that revival. And that was my experience in the Lord. That was my upbringing in the Lord. I didn't have a background where I grew up in church. My first experience was revival. My first experience was when I walked through that door in God's presence and waves of His glory began to wash over me. And I grew up in a place in the Lord where the most important thing was the move of God's Spirit. And sometimes that's scary, because when God's presence is manifest, it's not always a nice environment. It's not always a safe, what we feel is a safe environment. But when God's presence is manifest, people begin to be set free. People begin to run to Him. People begin to be healed. People begin to be delivered. And I remember the first missions trip that we took overseas. It was to Ivory Coast. And the capital city of Abidjan. There was a refugee camp that was right outside the city of 100,000 people in an area of probably about a mile by a mile. It was a very small area for 100,000 people to live. And people were literally living on top of each other. And there was a great fear of water in that area. And so people would go for long periods of time without even taking a bath. In the refugee camp, there was no toilets. People would, just use the restroom on the sides of the streets. And so it was a very, very filthy environment. It was a very oppressed place. And many people in that area was involved in witchcraft. And this is my first experience to the mission field. This is a very huge eye-opener for me. A young man that had been touched by the Lord. I believed in the move of God's Spirit because that's how I came to the Lord. I believed in healing because we've seen it every night at the revival. I believed in deliverance because we've seen it every night at revival. I believed in people being baptized in the Holy Spirit because we've seen it every night at the revival. And so these things were natural, but I had never seen a humanity live in the condition that I was seeing the people live in Abidjan. And we would do medical clinics during the day, and as people would go through the medical clinic before the doctors would see them, we would have a team that would pray for them, and many people would be healed right there during the time of prayer before they ever seen the doctor. And so after they were healed, they had no need to see the doctor, and they went their way rejoicing. And we would have evangelistic meetings at night, and during the nighttime, many people would be touched, saved, healed, and delivered, and come to the Lord. And we seen people who had been given over to witchcraft during that time come to the Lord and touched powerfully by the Lord. Well, from that place, we did a joint crusade with a French evangelist in a nearby city. It was actually the main slave port
out of Ivory Coast back in the days of slave trade, and it was a very, very oppressed city. And we went to this place, and we were, like I said, we was doing a joint evangelistic meeting in the town center with a French evangelist. And so we went out throughout the communities and talking to people, inviting them to come to this meeting. And so we gathered at it was just before dark, and we started the meeting, and no one was in the town square. The town square was empty, and I'm thinking, oh Lord, well, you know, what do we do? There's no one here. And so we just began to intercede before the Lord, and before long the whole town square filled up. People were hanging off the balconies of their homes that were around the town square, and there was literally hundreds of people that had filled the whole town center there, and the gospel was preached, just a simple gospel, and people responded by the hundreds to the Lord. And we began to go through the crowd and just pray for people. And as we were praying for people, the French evangelist, he got on the microphone and he spoke to the people in French, because it's a French-speaking nation. He told the people, he said, "Now ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on you." And mind you, we have a bunch of revival school ministry students throughout the crowd praying for people, seeing God touch people. But as this French evangelist gets on the microphone and tells the people to ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on them now, at that moment, and I'm telling you the truth today, okay? I'm being real with you, and I'm just going to be who I am with you. I know the Lord because He touched my heart, changed my life. I believe that Jesus is the same today as He was yesterday, and the same that He'll be tomorrow and forevermore. He's a God of power. He still saves, heals, and delivers, and He still sets people free. Well, when that French evangelist spoke that over the crowd, there were literally dozens of people that fell to the ground and began to manifest with demons. And they begin to writhe like snakes. The people begin to cry out. It literally looked like a riot broke out in the crowd. And the director of missions for the school that I was going to, he got on the microphone and he called out. He said, "I want all my students that are in the crowd, I want you out of the crowd right now." He said, "I want you to come up to the platform." And so we didn't have any argument with that, because it was really getting crazy. And so we worked our way out of the crowd really quickly. And we got up to the platform, and the missions director, he said, "Listen, the Holy Spirit started this." He said, "Just worship the Lord and watch Him finish it." And so we just got up at the platform and we began to worship the Lord. And just moments after, people began to crawl, literally crawl. Some people were slithering like a snake, just with the demon manifestation that they had. And all those people that were manifesting out in the crowd, they began to just be drawn to the altar area by the Spirit of the Lord. And it wasn't just a few moments later that every one of them began to lift their hands, tears streaming down their face, beginning to worship God. For the first time in their life, they encountered the risen Lord. They encountered the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is a God of power, and He loves to set people free. And this is the upbringing that I've had in the Lord. And I tell you, if we expect the Lord to move, He will move. He desires to touch our hearts. He desires to change our lives. He desires to transform us into His image more and more. And so as we share this morning, as we share this service together, I just want to encourage you that the Lord's going to touch you. If you come to this place and you're hungry and you're desiring a touch from God's Spirit, His presence, listen, He's going to meet you in this place today. If you have a need that you've come to this place and you're in a place of desperation, you're saying, "God, I need you. I can't make it without you. I can't do this without you. I need this from you." The Lord's going to meet you in this place today. I believe that people are going to be healed today. I believe that some of you that have lived under an oppressive spirit, or you felt a heaviness over your life, I believe today that you're going to experience freedom in this house. And so I just want to encourage you, as we move forth, let hunger be stirred in your heart, because God wants to move in this place today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Do I get to keep going?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I didn't know it was continuous. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wow, I'm really excited now. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, in the chapter, 24th chapter. The Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, and we're going to start in verse 13. I believe the Lord is wanting us to encounter Him afresh. He's wanting to he loves to revive His people. He loves to pour out His Spirit on His people. He loves to see us absolutely alive and free to run in the plans and the purposes that He has for our lives. He loves it when our dreams come alive. He loves it when hope fills our heart, that we can believe afresh for the things that God wants to do in us and through us. He loves to see His people refreshed. He does not like to see His people oppressed. He does not like to see his people being made to walk under a yoke of heaviness. He has paid a great price for us to experience freedom that He has bought for us. And He loves to see His people free. He came to give life, and He came to give it more abundantly. And He loves it when we come into life. And so our time, you know, from the time of our training and the revival and the time that from the time that the Lord called us out to the nations, we've been so blessed to see the move of God's Spirit. But again, when God begins to move like He did in that African town center, things got really chaotic. But you know, the Lord was at work, and the end result was that people's lives became free. But you know, when over the years I've realized something is that we can't control the Holy Spirit. We yield and submit to what He's doing. And as we're hungry for the move of God's Spirit, He blesses us with the discernment to recognize what He's doing, and we submit ourselves to what He's doing, and it brings the result of life. It brings the result of salvation, healing, and deliverance. It brings the result of the coming of His kingdom. And so that's what we want here this morning. That's what we want in this generation. I long to see this generation shaken with the power of God. I believe that the Lord wants not only His word to be declared, but He wants His power to be seen. He wants a demonstration of His goodness among the people of this earth. And He's longing for His people to rise up in the identity that He's called them to walk in as His sons and daughters, realizing that we have received a great inheritance through the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's endowed us with the power of His Spirit, that He's anointed us to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. Amen?
Amen.
And so we're going to look here in the book of Luke, chapter 24, and we're going to start in verse 13. And I'm going to read some, and then I'll stop and talk for a bit as the Lord leads me. Now behold, two of the disciples, were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now this is after the Lord had already been crucified. And these two disciples, their destiny was in Jerusalem. That's where the Lord was going to pour out His Spirit on the day of Pentecost. That's where the believers would be gathered together. But these two disciples, they were going in the opposite direction from where they needed to be. They were heading to Emmaus, and Emmaus literally means a place of warm springs. It's a place where people, I believe, people went to rest and to relax. Maybe people that, you know, that had stress or people that needed a vacation. Well, these two disciples, whether or not they were from Emmaus, they were going to that place. And I believe it was because things didn't happen quite the way that they had imagined it. And they were feeling quite heavy over the events of Jesus' crucifixion, because that was not how they imagine the coming of the kingdom in Israel and in Jerusalem. In verse 14, and they talked together all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know Him. I want us to stop right there. The eyes of the disciples were restrained, not because God restrained their eyes, but their eyes were restrained once again because they had imagined the coming of the kingdom to come differently than God had intended for it to come. And in fact, if we look in 19th chapter of the book of Luke, in verse 11, it says, "Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem," in verse 11, "and they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately." And so this was what they had formed in their thoughts. This is what they had believed to be the case, to be the reality of what would be taking place. And any time that we begin to have an idea, when we meditate on that idea, it will become a belief. But it's very important that our beliefs are formed through spending time in the presence of the Lord. We can't just form our beliefs out of an idea. Because if our idea is not formed in that place of intimacy with the Lord, that idea will form a belief. That belief will lead to deception. And that deception will lead to destruction. Not only of your life, but potentially to the lives of those that have trusted you and allowed you to be close to them. It's very important that when an idea pops up into our head, that we don't establish that thing as a doctrine until we allow that thing to soak in the presence of the Lord, until we allow that thing to soak in a place of prayer, in a place of communion with the Lord, that we're not forming doctrines about what we think, but the doctrines that we adhere to, that we stand upon, are those that have been established through His Word in His presence for our lives. And these two young disciples, they had already formed something with an idea, and it established a belief in their heart. And because it established a belief in their heart, it restrained their eyes from seeing the Lord, even though He was in their midst. And the Lord is in this place today. Amen. Where two or three gather in His name, He is in their midst. And He is in this place. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place. And He's here to move among us. He's here to touch our hearts. He's here to change our lives. He's here to transform us in His presence. But some of us in this place may need to have the restraint that have been over our eyes to be removed so that we can see Him for who He really is. And He wants to remove those things that have restrained us from seeing Him for who He really is. Our thoughts, our imaginations are so strong. You know, the Lord has given us our imaginations. But the enemy from the very beginning of his tempting mankind, he has always tried to get man to use his imagination as a tool that separates him from the reality of who God is and what He has said. And our imaginations are meant to be used in the Lord. But when they're used in the hands of our selfish desires, or our selfish pursuits, or our selfish pleasures, if we allow our minds to be entertained by the things of this world and by the desires, the lust, the plans, the schemes of the enemy, our minds begin to become a great tool that not leads us to the Lord, but begins to separate us from Him more and more. And in the case of these two disciples, it caused them to be blind, not physically blind, but they were spiritually blind. They were unable to see the Lord, even though He was standing in their midst. They were unable to recognize Him. And they said in verse 17, and they said to them, He said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to Him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened here in these days?" And He said to them, "What things?" So they said to Him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and crucified Him. But we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find His body, they came, and they had also seen a vision of angels who said He was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But Him they did not see. And then He said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken, ought not the Christ, who have suffered all these things and entered into His glory?' and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, there wasn't a finer message given in the earth than the message that the Lord gave those two disciples that day. But I want you to know something. Even at that point, when Jesus was walking with them, and Jesus began to expound the scriptures to those two disciples, their eyes were still restrained. That was the most perfect message that was ever preached, that was ever taught. You couldn't find a more correct. There was no exaggeration. There was no storytelling. There was no fault in his speech. Every word that he spoke was absolute truth, and it brought forth life. And as he expounded to these two disciples, their eyes were still restrained from seeing the Lord for who he was. Just because we come into a fellowship where the Word of God is being spoken, where the Word of God is being read, or the Word of God is being taught, it does not mean that our eyes are being unrestrained. It does not mean that the word being spoken will set you free. It means that it can set you free. The word setting us free depends on the position of our heart. It depends on the level of hunger that we have to draw near to the Lord. You draw near to the Lord, He will draw near to you. There's such an important role that we play in encountering the presence of the Lord. There's such an important role that we play in seeing Him for who He really is. He wants us as His people to be hungry. And He wants us as His people to be unrestrained to see Him for who He really is. Because that is the only place that we can run in the purposes and the plans that God has for each of our lives. That's the place where we feel revived, where we feel energized in the Spirit, where we feel like we can accomplish all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. That's the place where we grab a hold of the vision or the dream that God has given us, and we can run and not grow weary, and we can walk and not faint. It's when we truly see the Lord for who He is. We truly give ourselves to His plans and His purposes for our lives. It's the place where we can run and see the things of God manifest in the earth. It's the place where we can run and see His kingdom come and His will done in the earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus, after He spoke these things in verse 28, drew near to the village where they were going. And He indicated that He would have gone further. Jesus would have kept on walking had they not tried to constrain Him in verse 29. But they constrained Him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Verse 30, "Now it came to pass, as He sat at the table with them, He took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them." Look at verse 31. Then, everyone say then. Thank you for saying then. Then their eyes were opened. Then, at that moment, their eyes were opened. I want you to follow this for a moment, just once again, just to recap from the beginning of this passage of Scripture. These two disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus. Jesus comes and joins them. His presence, His abiding presence, is right there in their midst. Their eyes are still restrained. Jesus talks with them. They're hearing now the voice of the Lord. Their eyes are still restrained. Jesus teaches them through Scripture all things concerning Himself, but their eyes are still restrained. They go into a place of intimate fellowship. He breaks bread, which is a symbolic moment of intimacy. And it's at that moment that they break bread together that their eyes are finally open. It's in that place of intimacy that we really see the Lord for who He is. When we come together and we join together as a fellowship, these times that we're together, they're so wonderful. And they're wonderful opportunities. But we can find ourselves getting into a tradition, so to speak, but denying the power of God that He wants us to experience, that He wants us to live in. It's about His presence. You know, this morning, it's not about me speaking. It's not about you hearing. It's about Jesus. It's about His presence being manifest in our lives, in this earth, and from this place. It's about His glory filling the earth. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Amen. It's all about Him. And many times we can get into a place where we go through the form or we go through the activity, but we're not experiencing the power of God in our lives. And God is longing that His people would be a Spirit-filled people, a people that experience the divine power of God. As Paul said, the gospel is not in word only, but it's in power. There's a power demonstration that God longs to be evident in our lives, not just once in our time of coming to Him, but there's a demonstration of power that He longs for His people to walk in, because He's a God of power. And He's given us victory. And He's given us life. And He's given us breakthrough when we face resistance or we face an enemy that is in resistance to the kingdom of God advancing in the earth. He's given us authority. He's given us an anointing to see breakthrough, to see life, to see healing, deliverance, to see those that are bound by the enemy set free. Amen. After these disciples' eyes were open, it says in verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they knew Him, and He vanished from their sight. Mission accomplished. Eyes unrestrained. Now they can see once again. Look at what verse 32 says. And they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scriptures to us? In other words, in retrospect, they begin to identify that even while Jesus was with them, there was something that was stirring on the inside of them. But even though something was stirring on the inside of them, they still didn't see Him for who He was until they stepped in that place of intimacy. You know, we need that place of intimacy. In our times with the Lord alone, we need that place of intimacy. In our times together as a fellowship, we need that place of intimacy. He wants us to be an intimate people, and He wants us to see Him for who He really is. Verse 33, so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They weren't tired anymore. On their way to Emmaus, they were going to Emmaus because they were weary, because things hadn't gone quite the way that they thought they should. Many of us have found ourselves in that place in life. How many times have you found yourself in a place where you expected one thing and it didn't go that way? And you found yourself in a place of weariness or a place of heaviness. Listen, just as Jesus came to these two disciples, He's coming to you this morning. And if perhaps you've been living in a place where your eyes have been restrained, where you lost hope, where you lost vision, where you've lost a sense of purpose and a sense of destiny. Listen, the Lord loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He was not willing that these two disciples would go away from their destiny, but He took time to minister to them so that they would come back into the place that they were supposed to be when He poured out His Spirit upon His disciples. And just as He did those two disciples then, I believe that He's coming to this house, in this house this morning, to remove the restraint of anyone's eyes that have kept them in a place of seeing Him for who He really is, and have kept you in a place of experiencing what He has for you, what He wants to do not only in you, but what He wants to do through you. Some of you, the dreams that God's given you may have come to a place where they don't feel as alive today as they once did. Some of you in this place, you may feel weary. You may feel like you've lost hope, or you may feel like you've gotten discouraged concerning the dreams or the desires that God's placed in your heart. Some of you in this house, you've seen many wonderful things over the years. There's people of faith that have gathered together in this place today. You have a track record in the Lord much, much longer than I do. And you've seen wonderful things. And the Lord wants to revive our hearts. He wants to revive our lives. He wants us to grab a hold of the things that He wants to do in this generation afresh, because God is still wanting to move in the earth today. He is still wanting a people that will stand up in the midst of this perverse generation. He is wanting a people that will stand up and say, I know the Lord, and the Lord wants to know you. Amen. And He wants you to know Him. I tell you, the Lord is alive. He's as good today as He's ever been. He'll be as good tomorrow as He is today. His goodness shall never come to an end. He's good. And just as He displayed His goodness and His love and His kindness towards these two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus, away from their destiny, His goodness is displayed to us this morning. He is wanting to revive our hearts. He is wanting to revive the dreams, the desires that He's birthed inside of each of us. You know, when I was living apart from God, I grew up, like I said, in a family that did not know the Lord. I didn't grow up in any form of church. I grew up a heathen. And the only thing that I've regretted over the years is that I didn't come to know the Lord as a child. I would have loved to give in my teenage years to the Lord. I just really challenge you children that are here this morning, you young people, listen, give the strength of your years to the Lord. What a privilege you have to live for the Lord with the strength of your youth. Don't waste it on the things of this world. Don't waste it in the pursuit of the things of this world. God wants to move in your life and through your life, even at a young age. And I tell you, I believe that the Lord has redeemed much of the time in my life, but there's so much more that I know He's placed in my heart to see that I've not seen yet. I want to see the Spirit of the Lord poured out in a nation. I want to see God move in such a powerful way across a nation. I want to see a nation come to the Lord in a day, as it says in Isaiah. I want to see the Spirit of the Lord poured out in such a miraculous and amazing, and history-changing way. I want to see God move in this generation.
Hallelujah.
But you know, when I was in the world, I didn't have any of those dreams. I never had one thought of God's kingdom coming. I never had one thought of laying my hands on the sick. I never had one thought of somebody being delivered from demon possession. Never had one thought of somebody coming to a point of or a place of repentance. But the moment that I came to the Lord, the moment that the Lord brought life into my heart that night in Brownsville, in Pensacola, Florida, dreams came alive. For the first time, I found myself being consumed with thoughts of God moving in my life and through my life. For the first time, I found myself waking up in the morning. All I could think about was Jesus touching somebody's heart and changing somebody's life. For the first time, I couldn't stop thinking about the goodness of God. I couldn't stop thinking about the presence of God. I couldn't stop dreaming of what was possible in God. You know, those things were placed in me, not in and of myself. I didn't conjure up those things in and of my own imagination. Those things were birthed in me when I became born again. Why? Because I was born of His Spirit. And He birthed things inside of me that are reality in Him, that are a reality of what He can do in me and through me. And each of you in this place, you've experienced the dreams of the Lord. You've experienced God stirring in your heart and desiring to do great things in your life and through your life. Those are not things that you made up in and of your own self or in and of your own strength. You're not good enough to think about God like that. None of us are. But when we're born of His Spirit, things become alive in us. Things that we didn't see before. Things that we didn't feel before. Things that we didn't think about before, we find ourselves thinking about. We find ourselves meditating on, and it's because the Spirit of the Lord is in you. It's because the Spirit of the Lord is in me. He's wanting to revive us this morning, to see as He's created us to see, to dream as He's created us to dream. And I honor those of you that are running with the things that God's placed in your heart. May you be all the more revived in the dreams that He's given you. And those of you that have maybe felt like your dream has died, I believe that the Lord wants to resurrect those dreams inside of your heart this morning. Nothing else matters except God be glorified. Nothing else really matters but that God's Spirit moves among us. And they return to Jerusalem saying, "The Lord is risen indeed." Now they have a testimony. And they're excited. They're not weary anymore. They have this energy about them. The Lord is risen indeed. And has appeared to Simon. And they told them the things that happened to them on the road. And how He was known to them in the breaking of bread. They shared that testimony of intimacy. How He was known to them in that moment of intimacy. How He was known to them and that moment of breaking bread with the Lord. I really feel the Lord this morning wants to revive many of you in this house. The Lord wants to touch you. Perhaps someone here is away from the Lord. You've been coming to service, but there hasn't been a fire burning in your heart for His presence. Maybe you've been going through the motion. Maybe you've been going through the activities, but you don't feel the fire of God burning in your heart. You don't feel that passion. You don't feel that constant desire to see Jesus have His way in and through your life. And I want to tell you this morning that that's the natural state of us knowing Him. The natural state of us knowing the Lord is constantly thinking, meditating, enjoying His presence and His fellowship in our lives. That's the right place for us to be. And many times we slip away from that place. Maybe some of you in this place have never entered into that place. But that's the place that the Lord wants and desires for each one of us in this house. And I believe the Lord wants to give us an opportunity this morning to draw near to Him. Just as these two disciples constrained Jesus to stay with them. And it was in that moment that they constrained Him. They had to step out. They had to step out and take a risk. And they had to believe that if they stepped out to restrain Him, that He would not go any further, that He would abide with them. And it was in that moment that they constrained Him, that they entered into a moment that they were about to step into a place of intimacy. And it was in that place of intimacy that their eyes were no longer restrained. And I believe the Lord wants to bring us as a fellowship, or perhaps many of you, some of you may not be feeling the Lord speaking to your heart, but I believe that every one of you in this place, the Lord wants to speak to. I believe every one of you in this place, He wants you to be hungry to encounter Him in that place of intimacy. And I believe that He's allowing us a moment that we can come to a place that we say, Lord, I don't want to continue the same. Lord, I want to experience the refreshing that comes by the move of Your Spirit. Hallelujah. I want the dreams that You've stirred in my heart in times past, or even perhaps the dreams, Lord, that I'm pursuing right now. I want these things to be fully revived in Your presence. I want my eyes to be unrestrained so that I can see You for who You really are. I don't want to limit what You can do in my life and through my life based on an idea that I had that formed a belief that is actually destroying my relationship with You and destroying the dreams or the plans or the purposes that You have for my life because of the way that I think. Listen, the Lord can change all that this morning. He can change all that in a moment. These disciples were heading away from God. God spoke to them. The Lord spoke to them. Their eyes were unrestrained, and they went directly back to where they were supposed to be, right in the midst of their destiny, right in the midst of their purpose in that time, in that season, for that generation. And I believe that God wants to move powerfully through this fellowship. What I was feeling last night in this house of worship, in this fellowship, listen, there is a deep well. There's an inheritance in this house. And the Lord is wanting you to receive what others before you have labored for in a place of prayer, in a place of declaring things prophetically, in a place of stepping out, in a place of allowing God's Spirit to move in their midst. He is wanting you as a fellowship to step back into that place in a fresh way, in a real way, to where you begin to experience the new move of God's Spirit in this generation, in this day, that our testimony would be afresh, it would be anew. He's wanting that for you in this place. And I want to ask you, if you would, to please stand with me. I'm not sure exactly how you normally respond to the Lord and in times where an opportunity is given. But I really feel that if your heart is being stirred this morning, just allow the Lord to move you out of what may be comfortable, what may be normal for you. You know, just believe for God to do something fresh and new in your life. You know, any time that I've seen God's Spirit move in any place that I've been, there's always been a sense of uncomfortableness. Because we like things in order. We like to know how things are going to happen and when they're going to happen. But you know, when God's presence begins to manifest and move in our hearts and our lives, many times we just lose absolute control. And to be honest with you,
We need to lose control. We just need to let God be God. And we need to let the Lord move in our midst the way that He desires to. And so if you feel the Lord stirring in your heart this morning, and you want to be revived, and you want to receive a fresh touch from the Lord, you want your eyes to be unrestrained to see Him for who He really is, I just want to ask you to come. Please don't wait on your friends. Don't wait for someone else to respond. But if God's stirring your heart, if God's speaking to your heart, I believe that every moment in history where people begin to experience a move of God's Spirit, they just had to be willing to step out. They just had to be willing to stand in a place and unashamedly say, Lord, I'm hungry.
Lord, I'm desperate for a move of God.
Lord, I want to see Your Spirit move in and through my life. Lord, I'm hungry and desperate to see the outpouring of Your Spirit in my life, in my generation. Lord, I want to see You have Your way in me and through me. Lord, I want You to move. I want You to move. I want You to move, Lord, in my life. Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, Lord. Whatever it takes, Father. Whatever it takes, Lord. Allow my eyes to be unrestrained to see You for who You really are. Lord, I want to come into that fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to come to that place where I begin to cry out for You. Lord, like I did in the early days of experiencing Your presence and experiencing Your glory. Lord, I want to come back into that place, Lord, where my heart is constantly longing for You. Where I'm constantly aching on the inside for the presence of God, for the moving of Your Spirit. Because God is desiring that we would be a people that are full of Him. He's not desiring that we would be a people who are empty and absent of His presence, but He is desiring that we would be a people who are overflowing with the goodness of God, with the glory of God, with the presence of God. And I believe as we hunger for Him, and I believe as we thirst for Him, the Lord said, we shall be filled. The Lord wants to fill His people. He wants to manifest His goodness over our lives. And He wants us to be a people of revival. He wants us to be a people who constantly long for the coming of the Lord, who constantly long for the presence and the glory of God to be manifest in and through our lives. I believe God is desiring to do a great thing in this house of praise, but He is desiring we as a people would hunger and long for Him like never before, that we would begin to step out of our comfort zones day after day, and we would set ourselves in a place of prayer and intercession for the coming of the Lord in this generation, not only in our lives, but through our lives, because the people of this generation, they desperately need a move of God's Spirit. But I believe that God is wanting to start in the house of God. I believe that He is wanting to revive the hearts and lives of His people, because He's called us to be a people of His Spirit, and He's called us to be a people that walk in light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, just let the cry of your heart come out before the Lord. Listen, don't hold anything back from Him. Just allow the Lord to move on your heart. Listen, allow those deep cries. Allow the deep to cry out to the deep of God. Listen, don't hold anything back. Don't hold anything back. Listen. Listen, in a moment, in a day, God can break through in ways that you never dreamed or imagined. And the move of God's Spirit can far surpass anything that you've dreamed or imagined. And God possible in and through your life. He is wanting us to be a people that are revived. Lord, I thank You for the move of Your Spirit on the hearts and lives of these people. I thank You, Lord, for what You're doing, God. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, take us deeper. Take us deeper. Take us deeper. Lord, in that place of intimacy. Lord, in that place of communion. Lord, we position ourselves before You. We desire, Father, in the Spirit, that we would break bread with You this morning. Lord, that anything that has caused us to not see You for who You are, that will be lifted from our sight. Lord, that our eyes will see You. You created our eyes to behold Your glory. You created our eyes to see You for who You are. I thank You, Lord, for reviving dreams this morning. I thank You, Father, for reviving hearts. Lord, I thank You for, Lord, just for healing people's bodies. And I believe that the Lord wants to heal you today. Lord, if there's people here, and there's pain, there's evident pain in your body right now, I believe that the Lord wants to touch you physically. Listen, if that's you and you have pain in your body, I want you to just begin to put your hand on that place of your body that has pain.
that you've been living in. Maybe your back, it may be your legs, it may be your knees. It may be an area of your body that you know that you need a touch from heaven. Maybe you had something diagnosed over you. Maybe it's just something that you've been living with. But Jesus, the healer, is in this place today. And Lord, I just declare life and healing over this house. I declare life and healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare life and healing in Jesus' name. Maybe you're in this place and you've been under some form of oppression. I want you to just put your hand over your head right now. I want you to put your hand on your head right now. And in faith, just in declaration right now, I just declare freedom in the name of Jesus. I declare freedom from every work of oppression in Jesus' name. I declare freedom right now in the name of Jesus from every work of oppression in Jesus' name. I declare freedom in life, liberty in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for breaking every plan, every scheme of the enemy. Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you, Father, for liberty and life. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Lord.